Let's welcome those online that are worshiping with us here at Park Avenue. During the sermon time, we dismiss our kids to their classes. We have classes for kids from 2 years old all the way to sixth grade, 2 and 3 year olds right here as you exit the auditorium over to the right, and then all the other kids are going to be dismissed shortly to the ARC, or our Family Life Center. But before we do that, we show a video, a preview of what our kids are studying in their Bible class, and guess what they're studying today? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, parents, we want you to go home today and talk to your kids about what the resurrection means and what a powerful story that is. So to help you a little bit with that, let's show this video. Go ahead and roll that.
God's story, Easter. So part of God's story is about Easter, and it begins like this. You might know Easter as the Sunday a ginormous bunny hides chocolate inside plastic eggs. But Easter is really all about how much Jesus loves us and how God sent him to rescue us. Remember how the Jews, God's special family, were waiting for a king to come rescue them? Well, Jesus was the king, and this rescue was the whole reason he came to earth. God had already rescued the Jews once before, but this time it was going to include everyone. So one night, Jesus told his friends about the rescue. Exciting, right? But talking about this rescue was sad. That's because Jesus was going to rescue the world by dying. Kids, every mean or bad thing we do deserves punishment. By dying, Jesus took our punishment. Lots of things in life have good parts and bad parts. And just like candy bars are mostly good, as long as you brush your teeth after you eat one, this story is a really good one. Anyway, talking about the rescue made Jesus sad, since he didn't really want to die. Thankfully, we can talk to God when we're sad, so Jesus took a few friends into a garden to pray. In the garden, a guy named Judas, who people thought was Jesus' friend, came with some people to help arrest Jesus. Peter, one of Jesus' true friends, was so mad he cut off a servant's ear with his sword. But Jesus didn't want his friends to hurt others, so Jesus healed the ear and let them arrest him. Then Jesus was taken to trial. One of the most powerful men in the city, Pontius Pilate, wanted to let Jesus go. But many of the people wanted Jesus to die. They didn't believe he was the Son of God or any kind of king. Even after all the miracles Jesus did, like healing sick people and making blind people see, they didn't believe in him. The people were so mad, they started yelling, "Kill him!" So Pontius Pilate let the soldiers take Jesus. The soldiers made fun of the idea that Jesus was a king. They put a crown of thorns on his head and nailed him to a cross. Many people watched, but not all of them wanted Jesus to die. His mother and close friends were there too. Just imagine how they must have felt. Once Jesus was up on the cross, the sun stopped shining for 3 whole hours in the middle of the day. But those soldiers kept right on making fun of him. They said, "If you're really God's son, why don't you just call on some angels to save you?" Jesus could have called on angels to save him, but he loved us so much that he wanted to rescue us. So instead, he prayed to God, "Father, I place my life into your hands." At that moment, Jesus died. And when he died, the soldiers who had just killed him realized he really was the Son of God. Later, Jesus was put into a tomb and a big rock blocked the entrance. Jesus' friends thought that was the end. But 3 days later, God sent an angel to roll the stone away. Don't worry, Jesus could get out on his own. The angel moved the rock so everybody else could see the tomb was empty. Jesus' friends were the first to stop by the tomb. The angel said, "He has risen," which is another way of saying Jesus is alive. Nobody could believe it. Jesus took our punishment and then proved he really is the Son of God by coming back to life. Now, if we choose to follow Jesus, God forgives us for all the wrong things we do because Jesus already took our punishment. And that's the story of Easter.
All right, kids, you are dismissed. 2 and 3 year olds right here in this building. And everyone else out into the Family Life Center. Man, that is a great story, isn't it? And that is an amazing story. Hey, folks, that is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest event in human history. And its core, it's central to our faith. Without our faith, without the resurrection, we really have no faith. Paul says that everything that we do, all of our preaching is in vain. Without the resurrection, where would we be? It's what Christianity really is all about. And so today, we gather together to proclaim the tomb is empty and that Christ is risen and that death has been defeated. So today, what I want us to do, us adults, I want us to kind of recapture the glory of that moment. I want us to put ourselves there on that Easter Sunday and just be blown away by recognizing that the tomb was empty and then meeting the risen Jesus. What an amazing time it must have been. There are four Gospels, there are four stories about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of them tell the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know why? Because you cannot tell the story of Jesus Christ without telling the story of the resurrection. It would be like telling the story of Babe Ruth and not mentioning that he was a baseball player. It would be like telling the story of Neil Armstrong and not mentioning that he was the first man on the moon. It would be like telling the story of the Wright brothers and not mentioning that they were the first men in flight. It would be like telling the story of Tom Brady and not saying that he won 7 Super Bowls. And you cannot tell the story of Jesus Christ without telling the story of the resurrection. And so this week, I went through each 4 of the Gospels, and I reread each one of those accounts. And I wanted to recapture what the feelings must have been for those people on that Easter Sunday. So let me just share with you some of the words that popped out to me as I read those 4 accounts. In Matthew, as he records in Matthew chapter 28, he says that the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men when they recognized that the stone had been rolled away. Also in Matthew chapter 28, the angel appears to the woman. I mean, they're just terrified. They're shocked. And so the angel says to them, don't be afraid. Also in Matthew chapter 28, when the women meet Jesus, they fall down on the ground and they clasp his feet and they start worshiping him. Mark has a story as well. Mark says, when the apostles entered the tomb and saw that it was empty, it says that they were alarmed. I mean, imagine all of the emotions, all the feelings, just the fright and the utter delight that they were feeling, knowing that Jesus was no longer there. Also in Mark chapter 16, it says they were trembling and they were bewildered. Luke's account talks about the women. In their fright, they bowed down with their faces to the ground. Also in Luke, they were startled and frightened. And then when they met Jesus, they were filled with joy and amazement. And then in John chapter 20, John adds that the disciples, once they saw Jesus, they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I mean, this was a wow moment for those people. And they couldn't stop talking about it. When you get to the book of Acts, which is the story of the church, I mean, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches about Jesus, the climax of that sermon is that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And you read through the rest of the book of Acts, and they're talking about it over and over and over again. They talk about Jesus, and they talk about the resurrection. Because people, without the resurrection, there is no story. There's no story to tell. Without the resurrection of Jesus, you probably never would have heard the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He would have been just another Jewish prophet. And for the Jews, the Messiahs were a dime a dozen. If Jesus hadn't been resurrected from the dead, you never would have heard of him. He would have been just a blip on history's radar. But the tomb was empty, and Christ is risen. That is a wow moment. When's the last time you said, wow? When's the last time you were just amazed? I'm afraid as 21st century Westerners, we're pretty hard to impress. Just think about everything that happened today to you. You woke up this morning and you went to your kitchen and you turned water on and it started flowing through. Clean water that you could drink. We get it every day. Now, a few weeks ago, we missed it, didn't we? But wow, imagine that. How many of you drink coffee in the morning? You can raise your hand. Are you awake? You know, those that are awake, raise your hand. You get up this morning, and you might have one of those little devices. You put a little cup in there, and you press it down, and within a minute, you have fresh brewed coffee. I mean, wow! I mean, that's amazing. You cooked your breakfast in an oven. You didn't have to go get firewood. You didn't have to start a fire. You just pressed a button, and there it was. You got in your car this morning, and you took a trip to this building. And a trip that would have taken you perhaps even hours, you made it in a matter of minutes. I mean, wow. And even what's happening right now, here we are at 3000 South Park Avenue worshiping together, and we are joined by people from around the country and some even around the world worshiping with us. I mean, wow, who would have ever dreamed that that could happen? We have our phones and we take pictures and we send them to friends and family. We take videos of ourselves and we share them with friends and family. We have friends and family around the world. We don't have to write them letters anymore. We can just FaceTime with them. Wow! I mean, it's an amazing world that we live in, but we are so hard to impress, aren't we? We've put a man on the moon. Wow! Have you been keeping up with Curiosity? We're getting pictures from Mars! Wow! I mean, we need to be people who say wow a little bit more. But you know, putting all that aside, what I'm really afraid of is that the resurrection doesn't impress us anymore. We do this every year. Well, except last year. We still recognize the resurrection. But we get together every Easter, every year, talk about the resurrection. In fact, every Sunday we do it. Every Sunday, either I mention it in my sermon, we sing a song about it, it's talked about in the Lord's Supper. Some fashion we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I'm wondering, has the resurrection become commonplace for you? Has the resurrection become commonplace for me? Has it lost its wow factor? Because it was the wow factor that transformed the lives of the early disciples. And without the wow factor, our lives are not going to be transformed by Jesus Christ. The early believers, they were so amazed, they were so impressed, they were so wowed by the resurrection that their lives changed. They were afraid and they became courageous. They were timid and became bold. They were hopeless and they became hope-filled because Easter changed everything for them. And Easter still changes everything for us. Over the last several weeks, we've been sharing testimonies of Park Avenue members about their relationship with Christ and how much it's meant to them. And so today I want to share with you a testimony from Kirk Pendergrass. And I want you to be wowed by this and to see how Jesus Christ transformed his life. Let's go and watch that.
Well, my early life was being raised in a Christian family. We went to church every week. My father taught a Sunday school class. And we went to every youth camp. From outside, it would appear that we had a great family. But in reality, life was pretty far from perfect. We did attend church. We'd put on clothes that looked nice, clothes that we wouldn't wear any other time. We would wear smiles that we wouldn't wear any other time as well. I learned that church was a place where you would went and pretended that things were better than they really were. This all changed when I was around 10 years old. My father moved out, my parents got a divorce. Life after that was pretty tough. The main rule of the house at the time was not to let anyone know how bad it is at home. My mother turned to addiction, and life really was tough. In time, she ended up finding a boyfriend, and my dad took us to court and proved my mom to be an unfit mother. This was around the time I was 14. At that point, we were pulled out of the house, and we moved to El Paso to be with him. By the time I was 16, I was on my own, hitchhiking around, then dropped out of school, and pretty much living here, there, and a little bit of nowhere. I was on the streets and learning to make it on my own. Well, at 17, I decided to join up with the military, and I had my father come sign the paperwork to get me into the military at 17. Made it into there, and I thought I'd found a direction in my life. Well, in time, as life goes on, a good friend of mine was killed, and I couldn't see much in my life that was worth living. I didn't like my life, so I was seeking refuge for myself through drugs, alcohol. There wasn't a whole lot of drugs I wouldn't do. And in time, addiction got a hold of me. I had to have them to just get up in the morning. It was then that, in time, the state of Texas decided that I'd had enough chances in life and I needed to go serve some time. So I got a 6-year sentence for possession of crack cocaine. I ended up serving 3 years on that sentence. I started to read my Bible more, started to get closer to God. And that was pretty much where I decided to turn my life around, is when I was locked up in prison. And I got out, was seeking to know more about God. Still am. I don't understand God, but I can tell you how God has worked in my life, how He's pulled me out of addiction and out of prison, and given me a second chance with life. Has made it possible for me to find a wife, have children, be a good father. You know, things that I never would have dreamed of in my life when I was young, as I was growing up, He's made possible in my life. And you know, when people say there's no evidence of God, I can say I'm standing right here. I am the evidence, you know, and you can't convince me otherwise, because I was at a point in my life where I couldn't stop the drugs. When we follow His plans, when we can not be so arrogant as to say we understand God and we know what it is, but we fall and we are able to accept His authority as King in our lives, that's when our lives can change. So as I go through and I meet people who are in addiction now, as I meet people who are, you know, growing up and experiencing bad family relations, as I go around and I see people who are on the streets, I can relate with those people. And it's not by hiding the things I've done in my past. It's not by not showing the scars from my past. It's through those scars that I can show the work of God in my life and how He has taken me and made me into a new creature. And that is amazing evidence in of itself. This new creature in Christ is someone who you can stand to be around. At one point in my life, people paid people to keep me locked in a cell and to make sure I didn't get out of there. And now people come to me for advice. It's an amazing transformation to see how God has worked in my life and how far I've come. And I'm not saying that I've done it great, and I'm not saying I'm a good person, but God is great. And the way He can work in my life is amazing. That He could take someone like I was and turn them into somebody like I am. And I just can't wait to see what tomorrow brings and who He's going to turn me into in time. And each one of us has gone through something. You don't have to be pulled out of prison to be a good witness to God. But we all have something in our lives where He's worked in our lives, and we can share that with others. It's not by hiding who we are and our faults. It's by sharing our accomplishments and how He's guided us over our faults. That's how lives get changed.
Wow.
Thank you, Kirk. Kirk is with us this morning. I saw him right here in the front. Why don't you stand up, Kirk? Wave your hand. We're so proud of you and what God has done in your life. Each one of us can be changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each one of us, that power flows within us to make everything different and everything new in our lives. Let me just share with you a few things that I know that God has done in my life and God can do in your life as well. I like to call it our ace in the hole. You know that idiom, don't you? An ace in a hole is an advantage which you have over an opponent or a rival. I guess it originates from the game of poker. Not a big poker player, but I guess there's one game in poker where some of the cards are face up and everyone can see them, but there's one card that only you can see that is face down. And if you have an ace, I mean, you have an advantage over everyone else. That's your ace in the hole. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our ace in the hole. Because of the resurrection, we can live with anticipation. Our lives are going somewhere. We're not just counting down the moments and the days here on earth until we no longer exist. Our life has a direction and it has a destination. There's something awaiting every believer, every faithful person. Can you imagine what that day will be like? Your life will end in either one of two ways. Either you'll be alive when Christ comes back. The Bible describes that. It's going to be an unbelievable moment. I mean, it's going to just blow your mind. Trumpets are going to sound. Christ is going to appear. I don't know what else is going to happen, but it is going to be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you live to see that day, I mean, if you don't say wow then, you'll never say wow. We have that to look forward to. If by chance we don't make it to that day, the other alternative is that we will die. But the moment after we die, that will be the biggest wow moment of our lives. To see the resurrected Jesus. To be in the presence of God. Our life is going somewhere. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He reminds him the resurrection is so central to our lives, but it also means that we're going to change. He says it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. He talks about our perishable body becoming imperishable, our mortal bodies becoming immortal. And then I love what Paul says, because as he talks about this moment, he almost mocks death. He says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. John, in the revelation that he has, he's told to write this. He said, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about his impending death. And just look at this anticipation. He says, I'm ready to be poured out. It's all over. I've given everything that I've got for the kingdom of God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my time is almost here. But he looks forward to that time. I mean, he anticipates that time. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. And then he says, now there is in store for me this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed, who have anticipated his appearing. So Paul is, he's just anxious. He's ready to get on the podium to receive his reward. I came across a term several years ago. It's called the holiday halo effect. It's kind of a psychological term. And psychologists notice that even having a vacation planned helps you have a better attitude about life. You're happier at work. You're better in your family. Just knowing. You don't even have to go on the vacation yet. You just knowing that that vacation is booked brings joy into your life. We can live with that holiday halo effect as we live with anticipation. Then I ran across this shirt the other day. No trip phobia. The fear of not having any books tripped. Any trips booked. You feel that sometimes, you know, man, I got nothing to look forward to. You know, I got no trip planned. What am I got? Nothing planned this year. Yeah, I think that's how we felt ourselves during the pandemic, didn't we? We can't go anywhere. We had no trip phobia. We had nothing to anticipate. Christian, you do not suffer from no trip phobia because you have a trip booked that is going to just blow your mind. Because of the resurrection, we can live our lives with anticipation that one day we will be in heaven. And we don't talk about heaven enough, do we? That's our goal. That's our destination. Also, because of the resurrection, we live with courage. This life is hard sometimes, and sometimes we get afraid, sometimes we fear. But you know, because of the resurrection, we know that this life, although sometimes it seems long and sometimes the road seems so difficult, we know that this life doesn't compare to the life that's waiting for us in eternity with God in heaven. So we don't have to live in fear. Whatever happens in this life, yeah, we can grieve and we're gonna have those difficult times in our life. But even through those difficult times, we can face them with courage. God does not want us to live lives of fear. One of the greatest tragedies of life is to live it in fear. It weighs down our hearts. It makes us cowardly. It makes us weak. It makes us spineless. It takes away our joy. But knowing the tomb is empty can relieve us of that fear and give us courage. Paul says in Romans 8, man, Paul was constantly being wowed. You notice that? I mean, Paul lived this life of just, wow, what God has done for me, and wow, what I have to look forward to. Listen to what he says to Romans chapter 8 as he shares the wow with other believers. He says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And you can cry out, Abba, Father. Listen to the words of David. You know, David, man, didn't he live in awe of God? Didn't he live in awe of this world of creation? Read through the Psalms. I mean, he's being wowed constantly. But there were times in David's life where he was being pursued by his enemies. And so that brought a great fear. But listen to what he says. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. Look what he says. Again, he's mocking danger. He says, what can mere mortals do to me? In light of the resurrection, we can say that. What can anyone do to me? What can anything happen in this life? Whatever happens in this life, it doesn't compare to the life that's waiting for me because of the resurrection. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews writer who is writing to people who are going through difficult times, he says, remember that passage in Psalm 56. Say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Fear can so easily suck the life out of me and the joy out of me. We have all kinds of fear. Fear of the future, fear of finances, fear of what's going to happen to our family, fear of failure, fear of our foes. And it keeps us from fully embracing life, and it keeps us from doing the things that we know that God wants us to do, that God needs us to do. It keeps us from giving. It keeps us from serving. It keeps us from living a fulfilled life of purpose. So again, let me turn your attention to Paul, because Paul lived with courage. In Philippians 1, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he really says, I don't even know what to choose. I'd really rather just die, because I know what a great experience and a great life is waiting for me. But he says, as long as I live, I'm going to give my life to the Lord, and I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to be courageous, and I'm never going to give up. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid. Whatever happens, you don't have to be afraid. You can live with courage. And then third, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can live with endurance. Man, life can be hard. I know well what all of you, or many of you, have gone through in life. What I've gone through in life. Life can be difficult. And all of us know that so well as we come through this pandemic, don't we? But one thing that helps us endure is knowing that relief is coming. Relief is coming. Wow. One of the most difficult physical challenges of my life I did a couple years ago. We were in Nepal. We went on this little trek. A little trek. through the Himalayas. So the highlight of this trek was to make it up to this one peak where we would go up in the morning and see the sun rise over the Himalayas. I mean, this was the highlight. I mean, this was it. Everyone was looking forward to that moment. So we woke up that morning and everyone else has gone ahead. Some people didn't find it as hard as I did. And I may be exaggerating the difficulty of this trek, but believe me, for me, it was hard. So everyone else was ahead of me, and it was still dark. The sun hadn't risen yet. And now I'm climbing this mountain. It's not like I've got these hammers and everything, but it was a steep climb. I mean, there were stairs, and there was rocky paths. And man, I had to take several breaks. People were passing me. There were benches. Every time there was a bench, I sat down and took my breath. I mean, it was hard for me to catch my breath. If there wasn't a bench, I just fell down on the ground and caught my breath. I mean, it was hard. It was difficult, but I wanted to make it to the top. So when I got to the top, I took a picture here, and there I am. That's me. Don't I look excited? Don't I look worn out? Don't I look exhausted? But behind me, and you can't see this too well in that picture, but those are the Himalayan mountains, and to the right of that picture over my left shoulder, there's the sun rising, and it was just an unbelievable experience. I'm so glad I made it up to the top, and they had the best hot chocolate up at the top of the mountain. I mean, that was amazing. But man, it was, I just wanted to make it to the top. I just wanted to make it to the top. I want to make it to the top. Listen again to what Paul says to Timothy. And he writes this letter to Timothy, but I want you to receive these words as if Paul is writing to you today. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, he says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. But listen to Paul say these words to you. He says, here is a trustworthy saying. This is something that you can bank on. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Easter changes everything. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Amen. Wow. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us so much. And Father, today we come to the tomb of Jesus Christ. The stone has been rolled away, the tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive. And Father, because of that, we are excited about where we're going. Father, we know that our life has meaning, has purpose. We know that one day, with our own eyes, we will be able to see the resurrected Christ. And Father, as we live this life, Father, help us put all the fears aside. Father, right now there are people here that are struggling with fears. I'm struggling with fears. We just worry about things that are going to happen. We worry about taking care of business. We worry about our jobs. We worry about all these things. And Father, you want us to be responsible people, but Father, help us not to be overcome by fear to the extent that we don't just fully place ourselves courageously and boldly in your will, at the center of your will. So, Father, help us to put everything aside that may be scaring us and say, man, we are going to live courageous lives in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the resurrection. And, Father, help us to endure. Father, sometimes Sometimes we want to give up. And I know that there are people here that may be on the verge of giving up. Father, they've been lured away by something else. Father, they've turned to other things to find purpose and meaning. Father, I pray that each one of us will make it to the top. So, Father, allow that resurrection power to change our lives and to make us strong and to endure whatever comes our way. Because the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. And we are people of hope. In the name of the risen Savior Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. Man, if you need to know more about Jesus Christ and we're here for you, capture one of us, talk to us. We want you to know who Jesus is. If you need to know more about that story, if you need to give your life over to Him, then do that sometime. There's going to be two wows when you die. You want the good wow, all right? You want the good wow. Man, I want everyone, I want all of us to make it to the top. I want all of us to see King Jesus when our time comes. But today, right now, we're going to sing about the great hope. And if you are a Christian, man, Easter, the resurrection, that's the time of greatest celebration. So, man, we got a full house here. It's great to hear this singing. And, man, if you know this song, then sing it with all of your might, all of your voice. And if you don't know it, listen to it and then sing. You don't have to follow a tune. Just sing out these words. It talks about the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ because of the resurrection. Let's stand together. Basil's going to lead us in this song.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. King of kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my Lord.